Ging gang gooey 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 gooey, what you ging gang goo, ging gang goo.
Ah, yes, this is the moment. Summer winding down and the camps of summer open their gates for parents to pick up weary, wide-eyed, sunburned kids clutching bags of homebound dirty laundry, but none of their technology, laptops, cell phones, and tablets. Full of low-tech adventure stories to tell, though, these campers. We had one of those reunions with my 12-year-old son, Zach, yesterday. At the Beam Camp for Boys and Girls in Stratford, New Hampshire, younger brother Ajax wanted to be the first to hug his big brother. Squeals and hugs all over America, the home from camp reunion. Mom, I missed you. Now, can I have my cell phone back? The longing for technology may have supplanted the longing to be in one's own bed, eat mom's cooking, and other elements of traditional homesickness. But a summer camp in rural Pennsylvania decided to investigate this a bit. They let all campers use any technology they want, but first the kids had to give it up cold turkey for a time. Manoush Zamarodi observed all of this with intense interest and I suspect a little bemusement. Manoush is the host of WNYC's New Tech City. Tell me a little bit about this camp and welcome.
Well, you know, thank you, first of all. It's great to be back. This camp was very special because it's a camp that was in a family, the Smith family, for four decades. And this was the first summer that Matt Smith, the young son, he's 31, he took the camp over and he decided that he felt like they weren't really helping out the teenagers figure out where technology fits in their lives. To take it away for the summer and then just give it back, he thought really wasn't promoting coping skills. So his idea was, bring all your gadgets, as you said, but we're going to take them away for the first week, and then we are going to give them back to you. And, you know, when I went up to visit them, one of the teenagers had such a, they were so thoughtful, these teenagers. One of them really described normally how teenagers cope when they feel uncomfortable in a situation.
Lots of people just go into themselves with their technology because, you know, people don't see technology as tools anymore. They see them as, like, friends. So it's like instead of spending time with, like, people friends, they're spending time with their iPhone, which is their friend.
Kids think of them not simply as friends, as sometimes bodily organs. I mean, it's very, very difficult to detach. What was that like for these kids?
It did not feel good. I think they came with their gadgets and Matt Smith, you know, this lovely, lovely guy who's not that far from how old they are. They're 17, 16. They handed them over and I think they felt like something had been Velcroed out of their brain, just ripped off. Here's how one girl, Morgan, described it.
The first week, it was really hard because as soon as you walk up, they take your phone for the week. And I was like, oh my God.
And I think that these are kids who are so used to being in constant contact, not only with their friends, but with their parents. So this was really about getting completely away, and they weren't quite ready for it.
Well, these are kids. I mean, I've been living this summer, totally. On every, you know, one kid goes to summer camp, other kids sort of go away for, you know, sleepaways, this sort of thing. All issues revolve around when I get the phone, when do I take the phone, mm-hmm. Is it charged, do you have the charger, all sorts of things like that. It occurs to me that this 31-year-old camp director is actually a couple of generations away from these teens, as young as he is, in terms of the technological iterations that have already happened. When you begin to give the tech back to the kids, do they suddenly, you know, does the blood return to their face, the color?
What is it? All hell broke loose, John. Absolutely all hell
really?
Broke loose. The way Matt described it was all the beautiful friendships and lovely atmosphere that had been created in that first week was completely gone. Kimmy, this was a girl from Long Island, said that she was thrilled to get her tech back, but she was also kind of freaked out by what happened to her.
It was weird. I didn't even realize that 20 minutes had went by. I was sitting on my phone. I know this sounds so strange, but I didn't even know where I was in like a weird way because I was like, wait, am I talking to my friends or am I at camp?
So it was like an out-of-body experience for them. But I will say that that was pretty much the first day when everybody completely got back in touch with their friends. They started watching games, playing videos, whatever else they were doing. But then things started to shake down and they started to come back to life and say, oh, yeah, I kind of liked how things were that first week, being with my friends, reading a book. And so they started to put limitations on themselves.
Well, let's talk for just a second about what this means in terms of the kinds of research you've done. You've reported on this a lot. I mean, what's going on in the brain? Sense of place, sense of time, sense of identity, all confused by tech. Suddenly in the camp where you have the camp identity and your text and friends and playlist identity, these things are colliding and then merging at the same time in this camp?
Yes, and I think two things, right? Matt said that first week, his campers were much less anxious, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what it was, this having to be different people for different, wherever you are. If you're on Twitter, you're one person. If you're on Facebook, you're another. If you're texting with your parents, you're another person. If you're at Camp Circle, then you're another person. Like you said, it's kind of discombobulating. But the other thing was, is I think that the kids really were given a chance without peer pressure, without anybody saying, here's how you should be with your gadgets. They started to figure out for themselves. So when kids were wearing headphones all the time, they would give them really dirty looks. Some kids were saying, you know what, I'm only using it during free period, and that is it.
Did this change the way kids relate to their gadgets in the end?
I would say yes. For the majority of them, it did. So here's Kimmy again, okay?
When I first got here, I said to myself, am I really going and milking a goat? Like, is that really what I'm doing? And now I was checking my phone. I'm like, am I really caring about, like, what Lauren is doing right now? And she's like, oh, what's up? Not much, just chilling. Like, is that really a text that needs to be responded to right away?
Wait a minute. You can't milk a goat on a Samsung Galaxy?
No.
Whoa.
I know, crazy, right?
Learn something on this show.
But, I mean, so this girl is saying, like, am I wasting my time texting about nothing? That's a triumph there.
Kids are learning, apparently, at this camp that their identity is not determined by them with these electronic devices, but the devices are imposing an identity on them, and they felt free at camp without the devices.
I think that that's true. But what Matt Smith is saying, like, is that's not reality, right? You can't just not have a gadget all the time. So we need to give these kids coping mechanisms instead of giving them a digital blackout for the summer.
Manoush, before we go, because we will probably get about 17 billion requests for the name of this camp.
Oh, yes. Long Acre Leadership Camp. And they call each other farmers, and they milk goats, and they can also be on their smartphones.
Manoush Zamarodi, our smartest phone, host of WNYC's New Tech City, and fill-in host for this program. Thanks, Manoush.
Thanks, John.